Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Lamed Dalid. We left off in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. We're at the Mishnah Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll be finishing the Masechta, so we'll try to at least get to the bottom of Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph today to leave us a daf for tomorrow. So today we're going to start the Mishnah that's going to go through the order of the tekiyos, the length of each tekiyah, and the number of the tekiyos that we need that the Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara is going to discuss how we know that you have to use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah, how we know that each set of tekiyos has to have a pshuta lefneh and a pshuta lachreha. We're going to discuss the different possibilities of what the middle blast is supposed to sound like, whether it's supposed to sound like a shvarim, what we call a shvarim, or whether it's supposed to sound like what we call a trua. And then on the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, we're going to raise that third possibility that maybe it's supposed to sound like the combination of a shvarim and a trua. The Gemara is, in the course of the daf, is going to have a lot of drushos from psukim to try to derive all of these halachos. One set of drushos is going to try to derive these halachos by comparing the shofar of Rosh Hashanah to the shofar of Yovel, and the other set is going to try to compare the shofar of Rosh Hashanah to the blast that they would blow in the Midbar when they would travel with the Chatzotros. So the Gemara is going to show how each Tana derives from different psukim. A lot of drashas today. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Seder Tekiyos Shalosh Shal Shalosh Shalosh. The number of tekiyos, the order of the tekiyos that one is supposed to blow is three sets of three. Shir tekiyah kishalosh truos. The length of a tekiyah is supposed to be the same as three truos. Tosos and the Rishonim all write that's the minimum length of a tekiyah is the shir of shalosh truos. But if a person wants to be ma'arich harbe, wants to make a very long tekiyah, that certainly is permissible. These shirim are only for the minimum shir, not for the maximum shir. And the raya that Tosos brings is from the din of our Mishnah that we're going to see in a second. That if you're mashach b'shnia, the Mishnah is going to say, and you make it as long as if you take that second tekiyah in the first set and you make it as long as two tekiyos, so we're going to say ein biyado ela achas. But you see that it does at least count as achas. It does count as one tekiyah, even though it's twice as long as a normal tekiyah. So that's the raya that Tosos says, that this is a minimum shir of tekiyah, not a maximum shir of tekiyah. Shir trua kishalosh yevavos. The shir of a trua is three yevavos. So yevava apparently is the shortest sound. It's just a split second of a sound. And the shir of a trua is three avavos. The shir of a tekiyah is three truas. So therefore, from the Mishnah, it sounds like the shir of a tekiyah is nine yavavos. If they blow a first normal tekiyah, and then with the second tekiyah, they make it twice as long, and it's as long as two tekiyos, still that second tekiyah only counts as one tekiyah. Now the Rishonim are bothered. Why do we have to bother saying taka b'rishona? Just say that mashach b'tekiyah kishtayim, that if you have two tekiyos that you have to do, and you make one very long tekiyah, it still only counts as one tekiyah. Why do we have to say that taka Rishona first? That's not telling. We're not learning anything about that first tekiyah Rishona in this Mishnah. So if you say like the Rishonim that when the Gemara says the Rishonim that explained the Gemara that ein biyado al achas means that the tekiyah Rishona, but the tekiyah Shnia you're not yotze at all. So then I understand why it says takab Rishona, because at least it's telling me ein biyado al achas is about the takab Rishona. I mean, if you could, that's where you're going to understand it, that you're only yotze that first tekiyah, and because the second tekiyah so long, you're not yotze it at all. So then it would make sense. But the Rav Rishonim don't understand that way. They understand that ein biyado al achas means with that super long tekiyah, it's ein biyado al achas. It only counts as one tekiyah. So most of the Rishonim explain that by being tokeh b'rishona, that sets the baseline that we therefore know that you lengthen the second tekiyah kishtayim. Because otherwise, there's how do I know that this is the length of two tekiyos? What makes it the length of two tekiyos? A person can make his tekiyos as long as he wants. So how do I know that he was trying to get two tekiyos out of this one tekiyah? But once he set that baseline for, let's say, a 3-second tekiyah, and now he's blowing a 6-second tekiyah, so now you know what his intention was. Clearly he was trying to get that second tekiyah to count for the last tekiyah of the first line and the first tekiyah of the second line. That's why he blew twice as long. And still the Mishnah says, even though it's clear that that's what his kavana is, that's what he was trying to do, it it's still in biyado alachas. It still only counts as one tkiya. Does not count as more than one tkiya. That's the way the Rush, the Ran, the Ritva. That's the way all the Rishonim explain. Says the Mishnah further now. Mi shebirech va'achar kach nesmanu lo shofar tokeo Maria v'tokeo shalosh pamim. If a person already davened, he already said all the brachos of Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros, and he happened to have not had a shofar when he davened, and then after davening he got his hands on a shofar, so then he should blow shofar. He should blow three times. He should blow tkiya tru tkiya three times. So over here also it's a little bit difficult. What's the chiddush? Meaning there's a mitzvah of tkiya shofar. So a person didn't yet do the mitzvah, and then a shofar comes along. So says the Mishnah, a big chiddush. You should do the mitzvah. You didn't yet do the mitzvah. Well, of course he's going to do the mitzvah. He didn't do the mitzvah yet. Of course he's going to blow shofar. So what exactly is the chiddush? So one could suggest that the chiddush is that you don't, not that you have to blow the shofar. The chiddush is that you don't have to say Shemon Esrei again. You might think that since the mitzvah of tkiya shofar was nitkan al seder malchus achronos v'shofros, and you said the malchus achronos v'shofros without it, and now you have a shofar, so you should have to say the Shemon Esrei again in order to do it properly. Tori Evan writes that it could be that the Tanna in the Mishnah holds like the Shita in the Gemara that only one trua or two truos are midivrei Torah, and everything else is midivrei sofrim. And the only reason Chazal were misakein dafka three truos, we're going to see in the Gemara in Lamedal and Ralph, the only reason Chazal were misakein three truos is to match it up with Malchus Achronos Shofros. And therefore the Havamina might have been that if you already did Malchus Achronos Shofros, so all you're really going to do now is the Doraisa anyway, you're not going to line up with Malchus Achronos Shofros anyway, so you might only do one set or two sets, whatever you actually hold is midivrei Torah, and you're not going to do whatever is midivrei sofrim, because anyway you're not getting it together with Malchus Achronos and Shofros. So that's how the Tori Evan explains the Chiddush over here, is that you took Shalosh Pa'amim, even though it's not going to line up with the Malchus Achronos and Shofros. The Sfas Emes says, no, the Chiddush is that you don't have to also blow the Tkios to Miyushav. Since you didn't have a shofar before Musav, you only need to be Tokeh Gimel Pa'amim, because we're going to see that the minig is that we do more Tkios than just the three sets of three. So it's not saying a Chiddush in how much you have to do, says the Sfas Emes. It's saying a Chiddush in how little you have to do, that you don't need to do a new tkiyos to miyushav. You just need to do when you got the shofar after Musaf was over. That means you missed out on two entire sets of tkiyos: the tkiyos to miyushav and the tkiyos to mu'umad. And the chiddush is you don't need to do both. You only need to do one if you first secure a shofar afterwards. Kishem shliach tzibur chayiv kach kol yachid v'yachid chayiv. Just like the shliach tzibur is chayiv to blow the shofar, so too each and every individual is chayiv. Gamliel omer shliach tzibur motzias rab midei chavasan. Gamliel says not everybody has to actually blow their own shofar. The shliach tzibur could be motzi everybody else in the chiyuv of tkiyas shofar, and beyond that is not necessary. You only have to have the shliach tzibur be motzi everybody. So says Gemara v'hatanya shir tkiya kitrua. We have a brisa. It says that the length of a tkiya is kitrua, like one trua. We said in our Mishnah, in the second line of the Mishnah, that shir tkiya is kishalosh truos, that the length of tkiya is the length of three truos. So which is it? Is the shir of a tkiya like one trua, or is it like three truos? Sam Rabbi, Tana didan kachashav tkiya dekulubavi, utruos dekulubavi, Tana brak kachashav chadva vesulo. There's no machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Tana was saying that the shir of the three tkiyos is like the shir of three truos, that the three line up with the three. The Tana of the Braisa was saying that the shir of a tkiya is kashir of a trua, meaning that one lines up with one. So it's saying that they're both saying the same exact thing, that the tkiya is like the length of tkiya is the same length as a trua. The trua is kishalosh yivavos, but the shear of any individual tkiya is the shear of the same as an individual trua. Shear trua kigimli yivavos. Now the Mishnah said the shear of a trua is three yivavos. I vatanya shear trua kishlosha shavarim. But we have a brisa that says that the shear of a trua is not like three yivavos. It's like three shavarim. Shavarim are apparently a little bit longer than yivavos. Yivavos is the short blast, what we would call the sound of the trua, the quick blast. A shvarim is what we call a shvarim, is a little bit of a longer one. So it's a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What exactly shir trua is? Is it three quick blasts, or is it what we would call a shvarim, the three longer blasts? So Amar Rabbi, b'havadei pligi. That has to be a machlokes between the Tana of the Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa. D'chsiv, yom trua yelechem, umetargaminon yom yivava yehelechon. The pasuk says yom trua yelechem, and the targum on that pasuk is that it's a day of yivava. Uksiv bimei desisra, badach lo nishkova v'tiyabev eim sisra. And when it describes Sisra's mother crying when she realizes her son's not coming back from war, it uses that lashon of yevava v'tiyabev. So the machlokas between the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa is, what does that mean, v'tiyabev? Whatever she did, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the trua is supposed to sound like. So mar savar genuche ganach, umar savar yulule yalil. So the machlokas is, was it more of a groan or was it more of a wailing? So if it was genuche ganach, so then you're going to have the more groaning sound with the shofar. If it's yulule yalil, you'll have the wailing sound with the shofar. That's the machlokas, whether it's a trua or whether it's a shvarim. Now the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rokeach that even it says that the shir of a tkiyah is kisholosh, the shir of a trua is kisholosh shvarim. So he writes in the Sforim Mishonim, doesn't say shalosh shvarim, it just says kishvarim. So he says, if that's the case, if you're tokeh shnei shvarim, you're also yotzei. But the Beis Yosef says, even though it says in the Rokeach that way, he says lo nirakein, it doesn't seem that way from all the other poskim. Rather, you need three shvarim, and any less than three shvarim, a person is not yotzei. There is a minhag that some have to do four shvarim, but a minimum of three shvarim is necessary. Less than three shvarim, one would not be yotzei. Tan Rabbanan, minayin shabashofar. How do I know that we dafka have to use a shofar? Meaning it's so interesting that we think of shofar, we immediately think of Rosh Hashanah, but if you look in Chumash, it doesn't really say that anything about shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It just says that you have to blow tkios, teruos, but it doesn't actually say shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So how do I know that you have to use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Tam lomar, because the pasuk says, vavarta shofar trua. Pasuk says, vavarta shofar trua. Now that pasuk is not a pasuk by Rosh Hashanah. That pasuk is vavarta shofar trua b'chodesh vi be'asor lachodesh b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar b'chol ha'artzichem. That's a pasuk by Yovel. That's a pasuk by the Yom Kippur of Yovel. So, in li ela b'yovel, Rosh Hashanah minayin. We asked how we know that you need a shofar for Rosh Hashanah. How's this an answer? You're giving me a pasuk by Yovel. Where do I see that you need to use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So, tam lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi. Because the pasuk dafka says, in the seventh month. Shein tam lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi. It didn't, to say the seventh month is extra. It wasn't necessary to say b'chodesh ha-shvi. Umat tam lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi. Why does it have to say dafka b'chodesh ha-shvi again? Shiu kol truos shel chodesh shvi zekazetz. There to teach me that all of the truos of chodesh shvi should be similar to each other in that you use a shofar for all of them. Meaning, just like you use a shofar for the mitzvah of blowing on Yovel, so too any other mitzvah of blowing in the Chodesh HaShvi, you should use a shofar, and therefore we use, for Rosh Hashanah, we use a shofar as well. So it turns out that the din that you need a shofar in Rosh Hashanah is derived from a hekish. It's not in the Chumash, it's derived completely from a hekish. Now the Rambam has a rule, when the Rambam counts mitzvahs, so the Rambam points out that it's necessary to have klalim of how to count mitzvahs. So he develops rules of what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't count as a mitzvah. And the reason it's necessary to have klalim is because if you're going to accept the premise that there are 613 mitzvos, there have to be rules of what counts and what doesn't count, because there aren't really 613 mitzvos, there are really thousands and thousands and thousands of mitzvos. So you have to set up rules as what counts and what doesn't count, what do we call a mitzvah, and what's just a biblical obligation that's not necessarily a mitzvah, or an obligation that's not necessarily a mitzvah. Some of the Rishonim even count dinim drabanan, mitzvos drabanan as mitzvos, the hag. So the Rambam sets up the rules. One of the rules the Rambam sets up is any mitzvah that's derived from a hekish that's not mefurish b'torah, it's learned from the Yidgum Lidusha Torah and Drashas Ben, doesn't count as a mitzvah. That would count as divrei sofrim. So it wouldn't count as a mitzvah min haTorah. So why does the Rambam count the mitzvah of tekiah b'shofar? The Rambam should have counted a mitzvah of tekiah, but not tekiah b'shofar. B'shofar is only learned from a hekish. So this question didn't seem like much of a question to me, because the answer is obvious, but it's discussed in Achronim, and they spell it out. And what they suggest is what seems like the obvious answer is that there is definitely a mitzvah in the Torah of tkia, something of the blowing, sounding blasts. It happens to be that the Hekesh fills in the details of how to do it. So it's certainly going to count as a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Rambam is certainly going to count it as a mitzvah min HaTorah, and that wouldn't violate the Rambam's principle. It's only when the entire chiyuv is only derived from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Drash Ben, where counting it as a mitzvah would violate the Rambam's principle. But if you know the chiyuv from the Torah, and it's just the details of the chiyuv from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Drash Ben, well, that's certainly the Rambam is going to count as a mitzvah. That doesn't pose any problem whatsoever. Good, so now I know that when we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we have to use a shofar, and then we're not supposed to use trumpets or anything else. How do I know that in each set of tkios, you have to start out with a tkia before you hit the middle blast? How do I know you need a pshuta lefaneh, that it starts with a tkia? Tamalomar vavarta shofar trua. That's why the pasuk says vavarta shofar trua, to tell me that you need a tkia. Uminayin shepshuta lachareha. And how do I know that you need a pshuta lachareha, that you need a tkia at the end of each set as well? Tamalomar taviru shofar. That's what the pasuk says, taviru shofar. So that's what it tells me on Rosh Hashanah, that you need a tkia before and a tkia after. Says the Gemara, yeah, but that pasuk is still the pasuk by Yovel. That's not the pasuk by Rosh Hashanah. Vainly ela be Yovel, Rosh Hashanah minayin. That only teaches me by Yovel. How do I know that the same is true by Rosh Hashanah? So again, tamalomar b'chodesh hashvi, shein tamalomar b'chodesh hashvi. Again, remember the words b'chodesh hashvi and the pasuk by Yovel seem to be extra. Pasuk didn't need to say it. We already know when Yom Kippur is. To tell me that all the rules of the blowing of Chodesh Hashvi should be the same. That whatever rules you have in place by Yovel, you have in place by Rosh Hashanah. So if we're keeping score, the way it works right now is that by Yovel, the Torah tells me that you need a Pshut Lefneh, Pshut Lachra, and you have to use a shofar. By Rosh Hashanah, it tells me none of those things. By Rosh Hashanah, it just says, by Chodesh Hashvi, to teach me that all of the blowings of Chodesh Shvi should be the same. So the way we know any of this is true on Rosh Hashanah, that you use a shofar, and that there's a Pshuta Lefneh, and that there's a Pshuta Lachra, is derived entirely from Yovel. Now, we said that the Seder of the Tkios is Tkia Shvarim Tkia, and the Gemara is going to say on Lamadal and Beis, which we're not going to get to today, and it's going to be Paschal in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person doesn't know how to be Tokea, Tkia and Shvarim, so he's not Tokea at all. We don't say, just be Tokea whatever you know, meaning let's say he only knows how to do a Tkia. He can't get any other sound other than a solid sound out of his shofar. So the Halach is, so then you don't blow shofar at all. You don't just blow a set of tkios without any shvarim in the middle. Now, what's interesting is the Mishnah Brura in Tafresh Mem Tes, Sifkatan and Gimel, writes that let's say you don't have all Dalad Minim on the Yom Tov of Sukkos. You're missing Aravos. So you only have Esrog and Lulav and Hadassim, and you don't have Aravos. So the Mishnah Brura writes, so you should take whatever you have, take whichever Minim you have. So the question is, why is that any different than the tkios? Why is it when it comes to the tkios, we say that don't do anything if you can't do all of it? If you don't know how to blow a shvarim, so don't do anything. Or if you don't know how to blow a tkia, then don't do anything. Yet when it comes to the dalad minim, we say, even though you're not really going to get the mitzvah, still keep it alive. Keep doing whatever you can. Keep doing whichever ones you can get your hands on. So Rav Zilberstein explains that in the sugya Masechta Sukkah, the Flamin Aleph and Beis, the Gemara says explicitly that if a person does not find an esrog, lo yavi lo rimon v'lo parish lo davar acher. If you can't find an esrog, don't bring a substitute fruit for an esrog. Don't decide to say, okay, so I'll bring a pomegranate or something like that. So Gemara says, pshita, of course not. That's not the mitzvah. That's like saying if you can't have matzah, don't eat bread instead. I mean, the mitzvah is not to eat bread. Obviously, the mitzvah is to eat matzah. If you don't have matzah, I'm not going to substitute with something that's not the mitzvah. So Gemara says, no, you might have thought that you should bring it kedesh lo tishkach taras esrog, that you should take a rimon or take something, so that people will remember that there's such a thing called an esrog, that there is a fourth min. So come Milan, that it's to come to tell me, no, don't do that, because Adrabah, people are going to start to think that Pre-Eitz Adar is a Rimon. People are going to start to think that that's the proper Min. So the Rosh asks the question, so how is it mutter to take three Minim when there aren't four? Why aren't we Choshesh Nafik Chorba Mineh, that people are going to think there are only three Minim? They're not going to think there are four, they're not going to remember that there are four Minim. So the Rosh explains that because Abra Minim Shabalulav are Mufurish in the Torah, meaning it says explicitly in the Torah, Pre-Eitz Eitz Hadar, Naf Eitz Havel, Sarve Nach, Kapos Tamarim. It says explicitly that there are four minim. So no one's going to come to make the mistake to think that there are only three when it's explicit in the Torah that there are really four. But what it doesn't say in the Torah is the identity of the Esrog. That's only from Torah Shebal Peh that we know to identify it as a citron. From the Torah Shebichsav, it just says a beautiful fruit. So it's much more likely that if you bring a Rimon, people will make the mistake and think that that is one of the Dalaminim, as opposed to just substitute, if you don't bring anything at all, no one's going to think that there are only three Minim because it's explicit in the Torah. That's what the Mishmura writes. Kishachasar Minechel Lo Yavo Litos Listapik B'Shana Ba B'Shlosh Minim Da Kol Yodim B'Shatzarach Dalaminim. Everyone knows it's common knowledge that you need four Minim. So based on that, we understand very clearly what the difference is between Shofar and Esrog. Why is it that when you don't have an Esrog, you take the other three Minim? Because no one is ever going to make a mistake and think that there are only three Minim. It's explicit in the Torah that there are four. Why is it that when you don't know how to sound the Shvarim, we don't just tell you to sound the Tekiya, we tell you to ignore it entirely? Because if you end up only sounding Tekiyos, it is not explicit in the Torah that you need Shvarim. So people might make that mistake and think that that's what a Shofar, that's the only sound you're supposed to make out of a Shofar. Better to not do the mitzvah at all, where everyone's going to realize we're missing the mitzvah, and it's not going to be Nafik Minei Chorba. So that's the reason that there's a chiluk between these two halachos of Dalet Minim and the halacha of Shofar. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Uminayin l'shalosh shal shalosh shalosh, in the third line of Lam Dalet Amar Aleph, how do we know that you do three sets of three? As Rashi points out, minayin dehanach pshut l'fnei l'achre utrua be'emsa avdina t'las hazimni. So far we've proven that you need a Shofar, and we've proven that you need a Tekiya before the Trua and a Tekiya after the Trua. How do I know that that set of Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya should be repeated three times? That you do it three separate times. One for Malchios, one for Zichronos, and one for Shofros. So Tamalomar, that's why we have three Psukim. Pasuk says, Vavarta Shofar Trua, Shabbos on Zichron Trua, and Yom Trua Yelechem. So the combination of the three Psukim tells us that you have to repeat the process three times. Now it's interesting, if you look at where these Psukim are, on the side of the Gemara, when they quote where the Psukim are, so the first one is Vayikra Perchafei Pasuk Tes, then the next one is Vayikra Perchaf Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, so we're going backwards in Chumash, and then the third one is Bamidbar Perchaf Tes Pasuk Aleph, so then we go forward. So it's completely out of order to quote these Psukim in this way. So the Rashash just makes that Ha'ara, that it seems to be that the Gemara is quoting the Psukim out of order. There must be a reason for it, that the Gemara is quoting the Psukim out of order. So he says that it must be that the reason that the Gemara quotes it out of order is that because the Gemara wants to be masmich the two truos that are about Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara wants to associate those two with each other, meaning Vayikra Chav Hei is about Yovel, Vayikra Chav Gimel is about Rosh Hashanah, Parsh Zemar, that's about Rosh Hashanah, and Bamidbar Chav Tes is also about Rosh Hashanah. So those two are about Rosh Hashanah, we want to juxtapose the two that are about Rosh Hashanah. When Rashi quotes the Psukim, he doesn't do that. He quotes the Psukim in the proper order, but that's why the Gemara does it in this order. That's the... Why not put the second and third? Meaning start with the earliest one. Start with Vayikra Chav Gimel. Yeah, start with Rosh Hashanah. I don't know why. Good question. So says the Gemara, okay, good, so we have these three psukim. So these three psukim teach us that you're supposed to repeat the process three times. Yeah, but not all three of these psukim are about Rosh Hashanah. One of them is about Yovel. So how do I know to apply the one, to apply the din, how do I know that it's telling me three times? Maybe it's telling me to do it once on Yovel and do it twice in Rosh Hashanah. How do I know that we're counting up between the Yovel and the Rosh Hashanah to tell me how many times to do it? That's why it says Shvi Shvi for Gzera Shava, to tell me that that we're connecting the two parshios, and therefore we count it all up. So HaKetzad, how do we therefore do it? Shalosh Ein Teisha, that the mitzvah d'oraisa is to blow three sets of three, which is a total of nine sounds. That's the mitzvah d'oraisa that one has to do with the shofar, to blow a grand total of nine sounds. So says Gemara, Shir Tkiya Ketrua, Shir Trua Kishlosh Shvarim. The Braisa continues that the shear of a tkiya is the length of a trua, and the shear of a trua is like shlosha shvarim. This is the brisa that we were quoting from before when we kept on asking that we have a brisa that's so sera our mishnah, right? We started, we said, "Ay hatanya shear tkiya ketrua." Where's the hatanya? That's this line of this brisa. We said hatanya shear trua shlosha shvarim. So that's this line of this brisa, and that's the end of the brisa. Now we've completed the brisa. Now it's so strange. What did we learn in this brisa? We learned that there are a lot of things we derive from the connection between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the shofar of Yovel. We learned that you need to use the shofar. We learned tkiya lefana, tkiya lachareha. We learned that, that you have to repeat the process three times. However, the first two halachos we learn from the fact that it says shvi, that the word shvi is extra, and therefore teaches us that we make a hekish between chodesh shvi, chodesh shvi. We make a hekish between all the different shofars that we blow in chodesh shvi. But that third halacha we didn't derive from a hekish. We said shvi, shvi, l'gzerah shaveh. It wasn't a hekish, it was a gzerah shaveh that we use. Why for that third halacha that we need to do three sets, do we learn from a gzerah shaveh in the first two? We learn from a hekish. So frankly, Gemara, initially we learn out from a hekish. Now we're learning from a gezerah shava. Why the switch? So it says Mar Hachi Kamar, Ilav gezerah shava have meisin lo ba'akesha. Now what we're saying is that had it not been for the gezerah shava, we would have derived it from a hekish. But now that we have a gezerah shava, we don't need to derive it from a hekish. Meaning the gezerah shava apparently is stronger than the hekish. But had it not been for the gezerah shava, then we would have derived this from a hekish. Now there is a concept in Shas that we have sometimes mil sadasi b'kal v'chomer tarich v'kasav lakra, that sometimes something that you could derive from a kal v'chomer, and we would have been able to derive using that midah shatan judgment of kal v'chomer, the pasuk will still spell it out explicitly. Now the question is, do you say that by other midah shatan judgment as well? Meaning, do we say that mil sadasi b'hekish tarich v'kasav lakzereshava, that which was written that which we could have derived from a hekish, so we could have figured out Minayu Bey, the Torah will still create a gzera shava to make us learn one from the other. Now, if you say that we do apply such a rule that there's some maila of a gzera shava over a hekish, so then I understand very well what's going on over here. If you don't say that, so what does that mean? Something that we could have learned from a hekish, we make a gzera shava. Why would the Chumash go out of his way to make a gzera shava when it's not necessary, when it's entirely the whole thing could have been derived from a hekish? Now the idea of mil sadasi b'kal v'chomer tarich v'kasav l'akra makes sense because that which is explicit in the pasuk has certain milos over that which is derived from yirgum nidus shatar and jashban. Yirgum nidus shatar and jashban. For example, the Taz writes in Shulchan Aruch, if something is a din d'oraisa, it's derived from Yigum Mid Shatar and Drashas Ben, the Chacham are allowed to make a takana that goes against that din d'oraisa. The Chacham are allowed to tell you to b'shevi altasa to violate that din d'oraisa. But something that's mefurish b'kra, the Chacham are not empowered to make a takana to tell you not to do. So there's an actual difference between them. So you understand why, even though it could have been derived from a kal v'chomer, tarach v'kasav l'kra. Also, by a kal v'chomer, you could ask a pircha on a kal v'chomer. You could be meshav on a kal v'chomer. If you have a kal v'chomer and someone says, you know what, it's not so logical because what you think is kal is really chomer mitzad echad. It's really some echad. So you could blow up a whole kal v'chomer, but you can't blow up a pasuk. If it says it in the pasuk, there's nothing you could do. So what's the maila of a gezerah shava over a hekish? Is there any maila of a gezerah shava over a hekish? I don't know. I'm not sure what the maila is. We know about a gezerah shava that ain't of them done gezerah shava me'atzmo, and there's a machlokas rishonim whether a person is done hekish me'atzmo. Kal v'chomer, you're definitely done me'atzmo. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos Masechta Sukkah, whether the other midos shatar and drashas ben are all like kal v'chomer in that we're allowed to do it on our own, or are they all like gezerah shava in that we're not allowed to do them on our own. But either way, whether we're allowed to do them on our own, I don't know what the difference that would make in the halacha. So I'm not really sure what to do with that over here. Anyway, says Gemara, hashadasi gezerah shava hekesh lo tzarich. Now that we have the gezerah shava, the hekish is not necessary, but in Chama we could have derived this from a hekish. So the haitan and ma'isel b'gzeru shava. So all of that was one approach in Tanaim. So we had one brisa that tells us that all of the halachos of shofar on Rosh Hashanah we derive from Yovel. Now we're going to quote a second Tana that doesn't derive it from Yovel, that derives many of these halachos from somewhere else. The haitan and ma'isel b'gzeru shava mi midbar. But we have another Tana that learns it from a gzeru shava from the Bamidbar, Detanya Utkatim Trua. Pasuk says Utkatim Trua Vinaswa Machnos Achonim Kedma, that when they would travel in the Midbar, they would blow Trua. Tkiya Bifneatzma, Utrua Bifneatzma. This is this past week's parsha, right? That it's a Tkiya Bifneatzma and a Trua Bifneatzma, that you blow a Tkiya separately and a Trua separately. Satom or Tkiya Bifneatzma, Trua Bifneatzma, or Enuel Tkiya Trua Achasi. Well, wait a second. Just because it says Utkatim Trua, how do I know that means two different sounds? Maybe Utkatim Trua means you should blast out a Trua. But how do I know that it's referring to two sounds, one called a Tkiya and one called a Trua? So Kshuhomer Bahakil Sakal Titku'u Velotariyu, when it says that when you gather together the people, you are Titku'u Velotariyu, Havir Matkiya Bifnasma Trua Bifnasma. So then you see that clearly they're two separate things, that there's such a thing called the Tkiya, there's such a thing called the Trua. So when you gather the people together, you only do the Tkiya. But when you're traveling, you do both the Tkiya and the Trua. So we know that there are two separate sounds. So Uminayin Shepshuta Lefneha, how do I know that you have to blow a Tkiya before any Trua, that the Tkiya comes first in any set? Tamalomer Tkatem Trua, because it says Tkatem, then Trua. So Tkiya comes before a Trua. Uminayin Shepshuta Lachareha, and how do I know that you need a Tkiya after any Trua? Tamalomer Trua Yitku'u, because it says Trua Yitku, so we see Tkiya coming after the word Trua. So there you have it, that we learn now Tkiya beforehand and Tkiya afterwards, not from Yovel, we learn it out from the traveling in the Midbar. In the Bir Alach, in Sim Tavkuf Pehe, in Sif Beis, he quotes from the Or Sameach, that the reason that we are Tokeh B'tzad Yamin, that we blow Shofar on the right side of our mouths, is because we learn Tkiya Shofar from the Chatzotzos of Melchama, and in the Pasuk in Shoftim, it says that Ve'achziku Biyad Smolim B'lapidim U'Biyad Yaminim HaShofar Slutkoa. It says explicitly that when they were going out to Melchama, they would hold the Shofros Biyad Yaminim. So you see that you're Tokeh B'yamin. So the Achronim all point out, how does that tell you have to blow out of the right side of your mouth? That tells you that you should hold the shofar in your right hand when you blow. So Pashas is because if you're holding shofar in your right hand, you're probably blowing out of the right side of your mouth. If you're holding the shofar in your right hand, it's a little uncomfortable to hold it by the left side. It's unnatural to hold it by the left side of the mouth. But still, it's a little bit strange that that's the source for blowing out of the right side of the mouth. Just a hidur, a person certainly yotze if they blow shofar out of the left side of the mouth. One of our Bali Tokei and Shul can only make sounds out of the left side of his mouth. He's unable to get it out of the right side of the mouth. I asked Rav Shechter about it years ago, is that a problem? Should we find somebody else who can make sounds out of the right side of the mouth? He said, certainly if he's blown already in the past, then for sure he should continue. That it's not that big of an issue. But anyway, that's where it comes from. It comes from holding in the right side by the chatzotzos. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher b'Yochman Broka Omer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher b'Yochman Broka says, Eino tzarech, harei Omer, tkatim trua shenis. Shein tamal lomer shenis. It didn't have to say the word shenis. The word shenis is extra. Matam lomer shenis. Zebnei av shekal makam shemer trua teitkiya shniela. So that comes to tell me that any time I have a trua, there should always be a tkiya that follows it. Ein li ela b'midbar brashana minayin. Great. So we've proven that you have to blow tkiya trua tkiya whenever you're blowing in the midbar. Whenever you're traveling, whenever you're going out to Melchama, you have to blow tkiya trua tkiya. How do I know that that applies to Roshana? Tamal lomer trua trua l'gzera shava. So for that, we have a gzera shava that connects the trua of Roshana to the trua of the midbar. Usholos truos nemar b'Roshana. Now it says truos three times in Roshana, meaning we derived in the Brisa on the top of the Amud that how do I know that you need to do three sets? Because there are three separate psukim. Shabbason zichron trua, yom trua, vavarta shofar trua. Right? We have the Shabbason zichron trua, yom trua, and over here it says it in a different order, by the way. Right? Shabbason zichron trua goes 2-3-1 in the order, which is exactly what you were suggesting before, is the order it should have said. So shtei tkios l'kalachas v'achas. And each of those truos there has two tkios that are associated with it. Masinu l'meidin sholosh truos v'sheish tkios nemar b'roshana. So it turns out that there are three truos and six tkios on Rosh Hashanah, a total of nine blasts. But only shtayim midivrei Torah, viachas midivrei sofrim. Only two are explicit in the Torah, because only two of these psukim are actually about Rosh Hashanah. One of these psukim is about Yovel. So one of them is midivrei sofrim. We call it midivrei sofrim, even though it's learned out from Gezer Shav. It means it's learned out with the midrash Torah and drashas ben. It doesn't mean that it's a din rabbanan entirely necessarily. Shabbason zichron trua vavarta shofar trua midivrei Torah. Yom trua yelachem l'talmudah uba. Yom trua yelachem is l'talmudah. So it's just a limud. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan Achas Midivri Torah V'Shtayim Midivri Sof. He says no, only one of them is Midivri Torah. It tells me this explicitly in the Torah that we blow shofar. The other two are Midivri Sofrim. V'avarta shofar Trua Midivri Torah Shabbos and Zichron Trua V'yom Trua Yalechem L'Talmud Uba. My L'Talmud Uba. What does that mean? What drush is it being used for? What's that second pasuk about Rosh Hashanah being used for if it's not to teach me to blow another set of blasts on Rosh Hashanah? So Mibayi B'yom V'lo B'layla. It's coming to tell me that we blow shofar dafka b'yom and not b'layla, not at night. So it's not really extra to use to teach me another set of blasts to blow on Rosh Hashanah. V'idach b'yom v'lo b'layla minale. And the one that said that two of them are actually used to tell me two sets of Rosh Hashanah, what do you do with b'yom v'lo b'layla? How do you know b'yom v'lo b'layla? How do you know that you don't blow shofar at night? So nafkalemi b'yom ha-kippurim. He derives it from b'yom ha-kippurim. Imi b'yom ha-kippurim yalef nigmar nami minei l'pshut l'fnel p'shut l'achra. Well, if you can be able to learn that from Yom HaKippurim, you should also be able to derive from Yom HaKippurim that you need Pshut Lefna and Pshut Lachra. Vavarta Taviru lo Mashmalu. No, he doesn't hold a Vavarta Taviru. He doesn't think that that's enough of a connection to tell me. Elamai Darshibu Vavarta. So what do you do with Vavarta? So Kidrav Masna, he uses Vavarta to teach me what Rav Masna taught. Am Rav Masna, Vavarta Derech HaAvaraso. They have to hold the shofar right side up. They're not allowed to hold the shofar upside down. Taviru dekam rachmana na'abre biyad. And Taviru tells me that you're supposed to be ma'aber biyad. What does that mean? That ma'aber biyad. So Rashi writes, Taviru na'abre biyad. Rashi says, V'ilav dehadr kasve lov mishtama taviru loshon tkiya. I never would have known that I'm supposed to blow the shofar. Because Taviru, I would have thought, means just to carry the shofar around, to walk through the camp holding the shofar. But I never would have known that you're actually supposed to blow it. Tosfos says, come on, really? That's what you would have thought? That you should just carry around the shofar and wave it around, they're not supposed to blow it. So Tosfos Pirush Shiachzenu Biyado V'Yitka V'Loshi Anichenu Agabi Shum Davar V'Yitka. That Naviru Biyad means that tells me that I'm supposed to hold it while I blow the shofar. That I'm not supposed to just have the shofar, let's say, sitting on the bima, and then I'll blow the shofar that way. Is a shayla. What if you have a person? If Zilberstein has, what if you have a person who breaks his arms a few days before a shun, and he's the Baal Tokeya, so he's in casts and he's unable to bend his arms to hold the shofar to his mouth? Can you have someone else hold the shofar for him as he blows the shofar? So in Har Tzvi, quotes from the Rambam that it sounds like he doesn't actually need to hold the shofar, because the Rambam in the first paragraph of the shofar writes that a shofar agazel, that a person is tokea, you're yotze, because the mitzvah is only b'shmias hakol, and afal pishlo nagabav lo yibio, even if you don't touch the shofar, you don't lift it at all, you're still yotze the mitzvah, because and there's no gezel on the kol. So from the fact that the Rambam says afal pishlo nagabav, sounds like you don't need to actually hold it in your hand. So the Rav Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin points out that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph says that the shear of a shofar is shiach zikenu biyado. The size of a shofar has to be big enough that you can hold it in your hand and still see it on both sides of your hand. So it sounds like you need to be machzik biyado, that you actually need to hold it. So he says maybe that it just needs to be roi that you can be machzik biyado. But even if you don't actually hold it, you're still yotze. The Har Tzvi says no, there's no shear that has to be roi l'haksuk bo. The shear is the size of a tefach. We just express that shear in the size of Roy Lahaksik Bo. So it could be that there's a chilik between the two reasons. If you say, like Rav Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin, so if his hand is in a cast where he's not Roy Lahaksik, it's not even Roy Labila, so then maybe the Bila is Ma'akevis. Then maybe you at least need Roy Lahaksik, and it's going to be Ma'akev if you're not able to be Ma'akev, if you're not even Roy Lahaksik. But if you say like the Har Tzvi, where you don't actually have to be Ma'aksik, it's just that's a shear, but it's not that you need that you need the shofar to be roi lahachzik, so then you could be tokea even if you're wearing cast. And he brings a raya to that tzvi from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that if you put a shofar letoch shofar, Shulchan Aruch passing the tafkuf peivav, we saw the Gemara already, that if you put one shofar inside of another shofar, even if the inner one is longer than the outer one on all sides, and you put the inner one in your mouth and you blow the shofar, so it's kosher. But a shofar that you're tokea bo is not the one that you're holding, because the inner one is not the one that you're holding. You're holding the outer one. So you see that that you don't need to actually be holding the shofar. However, l'chora, it's really tally on this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Meaning, this whole discussion with all these rayas, it should really be tally on this machlokas right here, Rashi and Tosfos. What va'avarta derech avaraso taviru to come rachman navri biyad, where Rashi says that you don't need to be tokea. Lahavir just means to carry around the shofar, and Tosfos says no, she'achzenu biyado v'yitka, and not to put it on something else. So from Tosfos, it sounds like that at the very least you do need to hold it in your hand while you are blowing the shofar. So it could be that that's the that it's subject to this machlokas. Okay, says Gemara Vayter v'idach the Rav Masna midashani b'dibure taviru biyad lo matzasamrit. And the other one, the other shita will say, no, I know Rav Masna's din from the fact that it says that it says it in an unusual that it repeats it. So I know that it's that it can't mean havar biyad. The Gemara avar mimoshe k'siv hacha va'avar to shofar truo k'siv hasam va'itzav moshe ve'aviru kol b'machna. So malalam kol afkan b'kol. Since in one place where it says ve'aviru, it says kol explicitly. So I know havara doesn't just mean biyad. I know havara means havaras kol, and therefore every time it says havara, I automatically know that it means havaras kol. Ulahai tana demaisilam imidbar. Now according to the tana that derives these halachos of Rosh Hashanah from the midbar, imal alan chatzotzros afkan chatzotzros. Meaning, if you're not going to derive it from Yovel, you're going to derive it from the midbar. In the midbar, they didn't blow shofros when they went out to war; they blew chatzotzros. So how do I know that you're supposed to use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah and not chatzotzros? Tamlam or tikkun b'chol the shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu. Pasuk says tikkun b'chol the shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu. It's not a pasuk in Chumash, but it's a pasuk in Tehillim. And ezu chag shachodesh mischasabo havyom is a Rosh Hashanah, which is the chag that we celebrate when the chodesh is mischase, when the month is covered up. So that's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So v'kam rachman a shofar, and the pasuk still says explicitly that we're supposed to blow a shofar. Period. So now we go back to actually identifying the kolos. So far we had machlokas when it says yevava. Does that mean ginuche ganach, or does it mean yelule yalid? Is that a shvarim or is it a trua sound? So now we're going to have a third possibility. Iskin Rabbi Avo b'kisri tkiya shlosha shvarim Shrua Tkia. Rabbi Avoh is Masakin that you should blow what we call Tashrat, that you should blow Tkia, Shvarm Shrua, and then Tkia. So Manafshach. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. Why would you do that? If you hold that Yilul Yalil, so you should blow Tarat. If you hold Ginuch Eganach, you should blow Tashat. Why would you blow Tashrat? Where does that come from? So it must be that he himself wasn't sure which one was correct. So says Gemara, well, that doesn't work either then. Masra Vavira, Vidilma Yilule, Hava, Vekamafsik Shlosh Shvarim, Beitrul Tkia. Let's say trua is the proper sound. By blowing tashrat, you're now creating a hefsik by sticking a shvarim right in the middle of your seder. Don't worry, you'll blow a tarat later. So you don't have to worry about the hefsik that you're creating by blowing the shvarim. So it says Mar Maskla Ravina, Vidilma Genuche Hava, Vekamafska Trua Bintron Litkia. Maybe shvarim is the proper sound, and the trua is a hefsik between the shvarim and the tkia by blowing tashrat. Says Mar, yeah, don't worry about it. Tahadarav tashat. You're going to blow tkia. Shvarm Tkia also. You'll do Tkia Shvarm Trua Tkia, Tkia Trua Tkia, and Tkia Shvarm Tkia. So you'll cover everything. But El Rabbi Avoh Ma'iskin, Yiginuch Yiganuch Havde, Yilu Yil Havde. Once you're blowing Tashad anyway, and you're blowing Tarad anyway, so then what's Rabbi Avoh being Masakin? If he wasn't sure whether it's a Shvarm sound or a Trua sound, you're already doing both anyway. So why would you blow a Tashrat? So answer Gemara, Misafkalei, Dilma Ganach V'yalil, because he thinks that there's a third possibility. He thinks that maybe it's both. Maybe it's Ganach V'yalil. That's what his concern is. Ihachi lavinami ibcha tkiya trua shlosha shvarim tkiya dilma yalil v'ganach. Well, if he's some supak, then maybe you should do tarshat. Maybe you should do tkiya trua shvarim tkiya, because after all, maybe the shvarim sound is not shvarim trua, but trua shvarim. How does he know that's not the proper sound? Says Mar Stamad Milsa, ki mitra be'inish milsa b'reish When a person cries about something, generally speaking, they'll do the longer wails, the shvarim sounds first, and then they'll make tkiyah sounds. Generally speaking, it's not going to work the other way around. There's a machlokes rishonim in the gedder of a shvarim trua, whether it's one sound or it's a trua that has two different parts to it. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam in a tshuva, and it's quoted by all the rishonim over here, is that even though shlosha shvarim you do b'neshima achas, but a shvarim trua of tashrat you don't do b'neshima achas. There's one breath for the shvarim and another breath for the trua. The Ramban raises questions on that, and he suggests that it's all one sound. So we try to be machmir. Shulchan Aruch points out we try to be machmir for both shitos, since we blow so many blasts anyway. We do 30 one way, 30 the other way, to try to be machmir for both shitos. Also, very important to point out over here, the sheet of Rav Haigon is quoted by all the Rishonim over here, where Rav Haigon, everyone's bothered by the kasha that until Rabbi Avohu came along, no one was yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. I mean, Rabbi Avohu was an Amora. There was a machlokes tanaim, what sound you're supposed to make. So until the Amora came along and he was masakin the yishblo shvarim trua, no one was ever yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. So Rav Haigon has this kevaldik chiddush where he says that everybody was yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. They're not arguing which sound is pasul. They're arguing which sound is kosher, meaning all the sounds are really kosher. They're arguing it whether what the ideal sound to use is, but really you're yotzei with any of the sounds that a person makes out of a shofar. They would all work for the mitzvah of shofar. Okay, there's obviously a lot more to speak about in terms of how we get to the mea kolos and all of that, but I don't know when we'll talk about it, but Be'ez Hashem will pick up from the two dots tomorrow.